Now that you've seen the Bible map, chart, and the future events, what is your eternal destiny? Please write your answers down as we go through the questions and scriptures together here on the back of the Bible map. Question number one, do you believe you have sinned against God and need salvation from His eternal judgment? Please check the answer you believe. If you believe that you have sinned against God, check yes. If you believe that you have not sinned against God, check no. Please be honest and sincere as we go through these questions together. Question number two, do you doubt, think, or know that you now have eternal life, that you're on your way to heaven? Doubt means no hope. Think means some hope. No means absolute assurance, no doubt whatsoever. Please check one of those. Question number three, exactly what are you trusting to earn your salvation? What are you trusting to pay for your sins? What are you depending on to get you to heaven? A. Are you trusting human efforts, such as living a good life? Please check it either yes or no. By living a good life, we mean living an upright, moral, decent life. Now, please be sure you understand the question. I'm not asking, is a good life important? I'm asking, are you trusting a good life to help earn your salvation? Will a good life help pay for your sins and help get you to heaven? Please check either yes or no. What about good works and good deeds? This would be like being kind to other people or helping other people. Will good works and good deeds help to earn your salvation, pay for your sins, get you to heaven? Please check this, either yes or no. Next is church membership. Do you believe church membership can help earn your salvation, pay for your sins, get you to heaven? Please check that either yes or no. Under point B, under question three, is there anything other that you are depending on to help pay for your sins? Is there anything else that you're trusting to help get you to heaven? Let's say you get up to heaven's door and knock on the door. They ask who's there and you tell them. Then what if they ask, why should we let you into God's perfect, spotless, holy heaven? What would you answer? Please write your answer down and please be very specific. Exactly what are you trusting, if anything other than your human efforts, to help get you to heaven? I'll give you a few seconds to write in your answer at point B. Question number four. What percentage of your trust for your salvation is in A, your human efforts, B, what percentage is in other? Whatever you wrote in on point B after other. For example, if you believe human efforts are equally important to what you wrote in at other, place 50% for each. However, if you believe that human efforts are more or less important than what you wrote in at other, then you will want a different percentage. You may want 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, 90-10. To ask it another way, how much are you trusting human efforts for your salvation? How much are you trusting something other than human efforts to pay for your sins and get you to heaven? I'll give you a few seconds to write in your percentages. Now, I trust that you have written in your answers to these four questions. If not, please stop the tape player and check or write in the answers before we proceed. Assuming you have written your answers down, let's check your answers now with the following scriptures. Most people answer question number one above, yes. They do believe they have sinned against God and they need God's salvation. This is correct. Notice the first read scripture verse. The Bible, God's Word, says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death." And this death means separation from God both now and for all eternity. You see, unsaved people are already separate from God now. That's why so many people have an empty life with no meaning or purpose. This is a major reason why so many people are unhappy and even commit suicide. They're already spiritually dead in their sins. And if they die in their sins, that death will become eternal death, separation from God for all eternity. Now look at the questions following that first scripture verse. Who have sinned against God and need to be saved from death? Some people, most people, or everyone, including yourself? Please check one of those answers. The scripture above gives us the correct answer. All have sinned. So the correct answer is everyone, including yourself. and, of course, including me. Question number two. Most people answer question two above. They think they have eternal life and are on their way to heaven. However, most people want to know. And here's some good news. Look at the next scripture verse in red, 1 John 5:13. These things, promises, have I written unto you, referring to the written promises of the Bible, God's Word. These things have I written unto you that you may, look at that next word, know, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. Please circle the word know. Many people say to me, I did not realize a person can know they have eternal life. And it's always a joy to show them this scripture. Look at the questions following that scripture. Does God intend for you to know that you have eternal life? Please check yes or no. Obviously, based on the scripture, God does want us to know, doesn't he? The next question, what has God provided so you may know? Some people say you should know because you feel like it. But does God say, feeling have I given you so you may know? No. He said, these things have I written so you may know. God gave us the Bible so we may know. We are to know because God's Word says so. You see, feelings are not reliable. In fact, they can be quite deceiving. Sometimes we may feel saved, sometimes we may not feel saved. However, God's promises never change. He cannot lie. By understanding and claiming the promises of God's Word, we can know with proof that we have eternal life. And we'll see some of these promises in God's Word as we go on. At the top of the next column, let's look at question number three. Most people answer question number three, yes. They are trusting their own human efforts to help earn their salvation. How did you answer question number three over in the box under point A, human efforts? Good life, good works, church membership. Did you answer yes or no? Please circle your answers there in the box. If you checked yes, you answered like almost everyone does. Now let's look at the next red scripture verse at the top of the second column, Isaiah 64:6. All our righteousness, that means human efforts to earn salvation, are as filthy rags. Wow. That's strong language, isn't it? Please underline those two words, filthy rags. Do you know why God sees our human efforts, good works for salvation, as filthy rags? Please check either yes or no. Most people say no, I don't understand that. So let's talk about it. Let's understand why God calls our human efforts to earn salvation filthy rags. It's because God's Word says, look at that next red scripture verse, in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and rose again. Please turn your Bible map over to the chart side. Do you see the big red cross right in the middle? What does that cross represent? It represents the death of Christ. Why did Christ die? He died for our sins. So Jesus Christ actually paid for our sins by his death on the cross. Now turn your Bible map back over. Look in the second column under that second red scripture verse. It says, therefore, when we try to earn our salvation, we are actually rejecting Christ's death, which has already paid for our sins and our salvation. Now, perhaps you never thought about it that way before. When we trust our human efforts, we are rejecting what Christ did for us on the cross. We're saying, I'd rather do it myself by my own human efforts. Now, there's a place for good works, and we'll explain that in a few minutes. Now, do you understand that Christ paid for your sins by his death on the cross? We certainly can't pay for something that he already paid for, can we? Look at the next question. Should we reject his payment for our sins and try to earn our own salvation? Yes or no? Please check your answer. If you answered yes, please back up your tape player and listen again from the top of this column. The correct answer is no, we should not reject his payment for our sins. Let's go on now with the questions on the Bible map. Let's see how God says we are saved. If good works cannot save us, let's find out how we are saved. Look at the next red scripture verse very carefully. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Let's understand some key words in this scripture. First, look at that word grace. God says we get his salvation by grace. Do you know what that word grace means? Most people do not. Grace means God's mercy. We cannot earn God's grace, and we do not deserve it. What is the opposite of grace? The opposite of grace is justice. Justice is what we do deserve. If we get justice, we'll all get the lake of fire for all eternity, and that's because we've sinned against the holy God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want justice. I want God's mercy, God's pardon, God's forgiveness, God's grace. Now, how does this scripture say we get God's grace? It says we get his salvation by grace through faith, by believing God's promises. Please underline those words in that scripture. By grace, through faith. Then, especially underline these words in that same scripture, not of yourselves and not of works. That scripture is clear, isn't it? Our human efforts and our good works cannot help earn our salvation. How does God say we get his salvation? Our works or by his grace, which we receive by faith? Of course, the correct answer is by his grace and not by our works. God says our salvation is a gift. Please circle that word gift in that scripture. That's a very important word. Let's talk about this word gift. Look at the next question. Can you work for a gift? Yes or no? If you think you can work for a gift, check yes. If you don't think you can work for a gift, check no. That's a question many people have to stop and think about. Let me ask it this way. Did you ever get a job and get paid for it? Was the pay a gift to you? No. Why? Because you earned the pay. You don't work for a gift, do you? You work for wages. Now, God says our salvation is a gift. That means he already paid for it. Who paid for it? Jesus did when he died on the cross. Did he pay for it partly or completely? Of course, he paid for it completely, and God raised him from the dead. Now, what happens if we pass through life and fail to get God's gift of salvation? We will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Whose fault would it be? It will not be God's fault or Christ's fault, would it? They've done their part in paying for the gift and offering it to us. Now, how do we get a gift? For example, suppose I held a ballpoint pen out to you as a gift. What would you have to do for that pen to become yours as a gift? You can't work for it. That would be wages, not a gift. You can't pay for it. I already paid for it. Asking for it will not give it to you. You could ask for it 1,000 times, but it would still be in my hand. What would you have to do for that gift to become yours? The answer? Simply reach out and take it. If you never take it, it's still a gift, but it never becomes your gift. It's the same with salvation. The Bible says right here in this scripture that salvation is the gift of God. If you never take it, it simply never becomes your gift. Now look at the next question on your Bible map. How do we get God's gift of salvation? Accepted by faith or earn it by doing good works? Please check your answer to that question right there. The correct answer, based on the Bible, is that we accept it by faith. That means we believe God's promises. Now, let's deal with this matter of works. I said before that good works are important if they're done for the right reason, and I promised we would see where they fit in. Where do good works fit into God's plan? Good works should follow or be the result of your salvation. And that scripture, Ephesians 2:10, explains that. What do you do when someone offers you a gift? Do you take the gift, kick them in the face, and then run? Of course not. You should say thank you. We take God's gift of salvation by faith, by trusting Christ alone as our Savior. Then we should live a godly Christian life, doing the good works as a result of our salvation. Our good works can and should be the thanks to God for his gift, but they don't pay for it. Please look at the next question on your Bible map. Can human efforts help earn your salvation? Yes, no, or partly? Please check one of those three answers. Did you check yes or partly? If so, please back up your tape player and listen to this section again, starting at the top of this column. If you check no, You understand that our salvation is not by human efforts. You may proceed. Number four, most people answer question number four that they are not trusting Jesus Christ alone, that is 100%, for their salvation. Please look back at your first four questions in the box. In question number three, we ask you to check if you were trusting human efforts for salvation. This is like a good life, good works, and church membership. Nearly everyone checks at least part of these, yes. We ask you in point B, is there anything other that you're depending on? Some people write in Christ there. This means they're trusting Christ partly and their human efforts partly. Then in question number four, they give us a percentage. Perhaps they're trusting their human efforts 50% and trusting Christ 50%. The percentages vary, but many people are trusting human efforts partly and trusting Christ partly. Their percentages may vary from 50-50 all the way up to 99-1. Let me ask you this. If a person is trusting Christ 99% and their own human efforts 1%, are they saved yet? No. They're closer than the people who are trusting 50-50, but being close will not do. To be trusting ourselves even 1% says that what Christ did on the cross is not quite good enough. It says that we have to add something to His death to pay for our sins. Now please look at the next red scripture verse at the bottom of the second column, 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life, eternal. And he that has not the Son of God, Christ, has not life, eternal. Exactly who must you have as Savior to have eternal life? Please underline your answer above in the scripture. Underline, he that hath the Son hath life. We must have God's Son, Jesus Christ, alone as our Savior to have eternal life. Notice the next question. It reads, what percentage of your trust for your salvation should be placed in human efforts? What percentage should be placed in Christ, according to this scripture? I trust you have written in your percentages answering these questions. I hope by now you realize you should be trusting your human efforts 0%, and you should be trusting Christ 100%. Please compare your initial answers over in the box in the first column, question number four. Initially, what did you write down? What percentage of your trust was in human efforts? What percentage of your trust was in something other? Did you initially say human efforts 0, Christ 100%? Like most people, probably not. You see, most people have never understood this. No one ever explained it to them. It would not surprise me if this is the first time anyone explained it to you. I hope you now understand your trust must not be in human efforts, but in Christ alone for your salvation. Please go to the last column at the top. Now let's see how we can have eternal life in Jesus Christ and know it with proof. This scripture in John 3:36 reads, he that believes on, that means trusts in, depends on, the Son has, that means immediately possesses, not someday, maybe, has everlasting life. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life eternal, but the wrath of God abides on him. That means the judgment of God is hovering over the head of all unbelieving people. What will you have if you believe on, trust in, depend on Christ? Please underline your answer in the above scripture. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Please underline everlasting life. What do you have without Christ? Please underline that also in the above scripture. He that believes not the Son shall not see life eternal, but the wrath of God abides on him. Please underline the wrath of God. Now let's look at that scripture verse again at the top and look at another important word. He that believes on. Please circle that word on. That's a very important word. Many people believe about Christ, but very few people believe on Christ. They're not trusting Christ alone as their sin payment. What does it mean to believe on Christ compared to believe about Christ? There's a big difference. For example, I could show you a strong chair. It's strong enough to hold your weight. Do you believe that? You may say, yes, I believe the facts about the chair. Then what if I ask you to sit down on the chair, to put your total weight on the chair? Are you willing to trust the chair to hold your weight to keep you from falling to the floor? You see, believing on requires trust. Believing about does not. It's the same with our salvation. You may believe all the historical facts about Christ. You may believe that he was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross. You may believe that he arose from the dead and he's coming back to earth again someday. However, just believing the historical facts about Christ will not give salvation to any person. Notice the scripture says, he that believes on the Son has eternal life. That means people who trust Christ's shed blood to pay for their sins have eternal life. Do you see the difference in believing about Christ to believing on or trusting Christ? Now please look at the next question on your Bible map. What is your response to Christ now? Do you realize the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again? Please check either yes or no. If you checked yes, you may proceed. The next question is very important. The answer to this in your heart will determine eternity for you. Let's look at it very carefully. Will you place all your trust, 100%, in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation right now? Yes or no? This is the same as taking God's gift of eternal life. In other words, will you accept God's gift of eternal life or reject it? Please check your answer. Will you place all your trust, 100%, in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation right now? Yes or no? All right. If you answered yes, look at the next question. Which do you now possess, everlasting life or God's wrath, and how do you know? Please look up at the scripture again at the top, John 3:36. He that believes on, trusts in, depends on the Son, has, immediately possesses everlasting life. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life eternal, but the wrath of God abides on him. Which do you now possess, everlasting life or God's wrath? If you checked yes, that you would trust Christ 100%, which do you now have? You have everlasting life, don't you? Based on that scripture there at the top, how do you know that you have everlasting life? Because God's Word says so. The Bible declares it, and God cannot lie. If you check no, that you will not place all your trust in Christ for salvation, what do you have? You have the wrath of God. It's also a promise. I trust that you checked yes, and I hope that you now know that you have everlasting life because God's Word says so. Notice that God says the believer has eternal life. That means immediately possesses, from this point in time forever. When does he give it to you? The very instant you put your total trust in Christ. What can you do to lose everlasting life now that you have it? Many times people say, well, if I sin, I will lose it. However, what did God say he gave you? Eternal life? Everlasting life. How long is it? Forever. He has forgiven your sins, past, present, and future. What can you do to lose everlasting life? Absolutely nothing. And he promised eternal life more than 200 times in the Bible. It's permanent. The more you study God's Word, the more you'll realize this. Now please understand, this does not give you liberty to go out and live in sin. God will not allow that. Like a good and loving father, he will correct you, and his correcting action may be severe. Now look at the next question on your Bible map. Which are you now trusting for your salvation? Your human efforts, Christ, or both? Please check one of those right now. If you check human efforts or both, please go back and study this again until you understand it. The correct answer, according to Scripture, is to be trusting Christ alone. I often ask people what would be wrong with trusting both Christ and human efforts. And many times people correctly tell me, To be trusting Christ and human efforts would be like saying Christ was not enough. That proves they understand. If you trusted Christ today 100% as your Savior, please date the bottom of your Bible map and sign it. This is the most important day of your entire life. Why? Because it's the day you understood the Scriptures and trusted Christ 100% for your salvation, and God gave you eternal life. I suggest you keep this signed and dated Bible map as a reminder of the day of your salvation. Now that you've done that, let's have a word of prayer together. Let's thank God for your salvation. Why don't you just repeat this prayer after me? Dear God, I realize I am a sinner, and I don't deserve your salvation. Thank you for helping me understand your Scriptures today. Thank you for helping me to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have accepted Him today into my heart. I have trusted His shed blood as the payment for my sins. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for coming into my heart today. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Please help me to live a Christian life as my thanks to you for my salvation. Amen. Now that you've trusted Christ, God wants to give you His very best in all areas of your life. Your Bible study is very important to your Christian life. That's the way you learn God's plan for your life. When you pray, you speak to God. When you study the Bible, God speaks to you. It's important that you find a good Bible-teaching church. Find a church that teaches the Bible so you can understand it. This will be a major help for your Christian life. You'll meet other people who have also trusted Christ as their Savior. They'll be a joy and a blessing to you, and you will be to them. As soon as possible, even today, tell someone you love about your decision to accept Christ as your Savior. Take them through the Bible map and explain it to them. Let them hear this tape and help them to understand what you now know. You're very welcome to make copies of this tape to share with other people. Please be sure they have printed copies of the Bible map to follow along with the tape. You can get copies of the Bible map from the address at the end of your Bible map. Please write to that address and tell them about your decision to trust Christ today. We also have another tract called A Battle Map for the Christian Walk. It is designed to help you in your Christian life. When you write to us, you may request a free copy of The Battle Map for the Christian Walk. As you share your faith in Christ, you will have the joy of helping other people trust Christ. Like you, they will also become some of His people for His name, for an eternal possession, for His glory. This is the real purpose of life. You will also learn there is absolutely no joy on earth like helping other people trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.